Welcome to Growing the Leader Within. I'm Dr. Gayla. Let's join the GGM class that's already in session.
Barbara was telling me, so I'm going to share with you what he gave me, and it's quite interesting. So you need to make sure you're seated because the title is going to startle you. And it got my attention when he said it to me. And at first I was like, what did you just say? And I heard it again. And this was the title he said. He said, it's time to move out of the funeral home and into your future home. Like, what? What does that mean? You know, and I just began to pour out on paper. So here we go. We walk in the halls of memory and think about all the past things that have happened before our loved one died. The great things, some good things, the bad things, the sad things, the terrible things, regretful things, the hard things, and how all of it has affected us. The past remains the past, unchanged in reality, but often our details of what we remember, it starts to get a little smudgy here and there. Did it happen on this day? Or did that take place back there when we moved over that area? You know, you kind of tend to forget the little sharp edges. Our thoughts bring events and happenings alive again, but only in our minds. We wish to hold on to the sliding days and stop them from going past us so fast and taking our loved one further away with each passing day. So now we stand in today, surrounded in the midst of yesterday's furniture, of wishes and thoughts, with our past held closely in silence. But the future waits just outside the door of tomorrow, held captive by our own minds that do not shift into the real present. We know the past isn't today, but we need a plan and inspiration how to figure out how to start moving forward. So we self-traumatize again and again by reliving the hurtful, the upsettedness, the badness that happened, because we don't have a solid point of reference to firmly grasp onto and make it our own thought process. I'm reminded of the amazing man, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who penned these great words. He said, I quote, "Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints in the sands of time," end quote. You see, while we stand in the empty hall of yesterday, our loved one has left their marks upon the world for us to see. If we look closely at their marks, we can see their impact still here in the shadows of life. So what is seen that they have left behind in the sands of time? Well, we often remember our loss of the loved one with sadness, but we don't often celebrate their life wins and our wins in life because of them. You may very well not be the person that you are today unless they had come through your life and shaped you just the way they did. I know I wouldn't be. If we look behind the lives of each person who's ever lived, there are certain traits that we can focus on and trace out in their lifespan. Not that any of them were ever perfect. For there are no perfect human beings that have ever lived except Jesus, the Son of God. So instead of tracing out the negativity, the bad, the loss, the fear, the insecurity, let's trace out something else from their lifetimes. There are certainly experiences in life that seem anything but good, and they cause our hearts to drop down in deeper disappointment when we remember. Especially the deaths of those that we did not expect to pass. Yet even those taken too quickly, they have left their life with a mark on ours in our soul in a personal way that has lingered long beyond the positive brush marks of peace. In a funeral home, come go with me to the funeral. One plans the service of how to honor their deceased. That's the whole point of the building. It's where we go to begin the process in the modern world. Yet in some countries, families still care for their own dead personally in their homes. These rituals and protocols reflect different cultures and social standards and expectations in the world at large. But the situation that remains the same worldwide is this: that at some point, we leave the place designated for the sacred farewell and move into the next day when the sun comes up again. Most of the time, our heart has remained with someone who isn't present physically, and we're still inside the funeral home. Suspended between the past and the present. But you know, the dead do not care at all about the funeral home or the rituals involved there. We are the ones who care. Let me give you just a random fact. Did you know that the number of funeral homes is decreasing in America since 2014? I bet you didn't ever look that up. Who would? But the death rate keeps climbing. In 2004, there were 21,528 funeral homes in America. But in 2020, there are now only 18,874 funeral homes, a 13% decline. Random fact you may never need to know. This data is according to MBA Modern and is posted in a fact video on April 30th, 2020. The question is, since the funeral homes are decreasing, are you the one that took the funeral home home with you? That's another whole different subject, of course, of why funeral homes are decreasing. But the reason the facts are in this lesson is that families on a whole are making better decisions based on the financial and economic choices and needs of the rest of their family. And it would be as their loved one wished. The point of all this is to say, while we use funeral homes for only a matter of days, this place of abode often gets into our heads, and we can psychologically move into this particular set of days and forget the bigger picture of our loved one alive and fulfilling what we knew them to be good at. We could make better decisions with what to do with our grief instead of the weight of it settling down on us and holding us bound into a vice grip of pain inside our own heads, which can become a funeral home of sorts internally. The missing loved one doesn't reside there either. Only us. An amazing scripture comes to life right here for you and me. Do you know that when Jesus was dying on the cross, there was a thief right next to him on another cross? Actually, there were two, but one in particular was repentant for the things that have happened in his life. And Jesus said these powerful words to him. He said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." A very clear and definitive instruction about what was soon to happen to them both. Jesus was taking the thief to heaven along with him as soon as they died. A revelation for those of us who have lost a loved one and need reassurance so that we can start to heal. When you cannot cling to the missing one anymore, you could certainly copy them. What does that mean? Now that they are from this life, passed on to glory, living in paradise, the joy that they once had here on earth, the talents that they once had here, character traits, the sense of humor, the strength they had, the wisdom they exuded before everybody else, the generosity that they had. You think that's all gone? Or is that still living? I would say it is multiplied 1,000%. All the goodness that they had here on earth was just a little pittance from what it is there. What is the greatness of their lives that remains here, still here in your memories? And how can you take those joys for your own and begin to live them? Your loved one, were they entertaining when they spoke? Did they ever meet a stranger? Were they gifted in personal awareness and situations? Did they have talents that you admired and were attracted to? Was it a son or a daughter that displayed a natural joy that was contagious to other people? Could they hold the attention of others because of a good speaking ability? Some call this a mantle, and it can portray a spiritual calling for sure. But often the natural way you related to them or loved them is still here, laying in the corner of your mind, just waiting, wanting you, hoping you, wishing you to move out of the funeral home in your head and move into your future home of expressing your appreciation by using their gifts. Your honor and your celebration of who they were and who they are to you can still be expressed very much so. You cannot cling to yesterday, but you can certainly copy what they left behind, what they portrayed to you before your life, the example that they left of love and wisdom, of action and focus, of hard work and creativity. Or maybe it was the way they could forgive people. We can copy that and take that gift for ourselves. Maybe it was a great, generous heart that they had. They were willing to give openly, without hindrance, without distraction, just give. Could we not take that gift for ourselves? Maybe it was a way they had of making a decision and not wishy-washy, hanging around, they could just make a decision. That's a beautiful gift that's been left for you. They left you something to copy. Cahil Gibran said this wonderful statement. Quote, knowledge and understanding are life's faithful companions who will never be untrue to you. For knowledge is your crown and understanding is your staff. And when they are with you, you can possess no greater treasures. Knowledge and understanding. So go with me and open the door into the funeral home and let's just look around. Oh yeah, all the seats are all stacked up just nice and there's a front area, but let's just move those seats back. Let's make a circle instead of a row. Let's find boxes that we've got and bags that we could pull in there. Just become baggage sitting around. But we could pack up the good memories that we have of our loved one. Not the accident, not the sorrow, not the pain, not the disease, not the death. Don't take the missing presence or the feelings of pain. Leave all that there. But simply pack their moments of fun. The sound of their laughter, what they enjoyed, the foods they could eat, the memories you have of the good times together, the good things about them that you loved. When you enjoyed an experience in life together, the private jokes that made you laugh, how proud you were to watch them walk the aisle or cross the stage. And think to yourself about how alive they were. And beyond that, how alive they are now. Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. 9, life-changing words that our dying Savior said to a dying man. Incredible to think about. When you have the knowledge of the Word of God and what has been written for our admonishment and encouragement, one can move out of the sad place of mourning. Do you believe what the Scripture says? Without added words, without descriptions, without definitions, just the words, those 9 words. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Just simply taking what it says to you. These 9 words change life for the one who was just a human who had made lots of mistakes. And now there were 4 dimensions and revelations that actually set him free. Wow. 1, Jesus said, this day. He was not talking about a further dimension or dispensation or the furtherance of time down in the future. He said, this day. That would have been the very day they were dying together, side by side on crosses. He was to be the very first one whom the blood cleansed even while it was running down the cross. That's 1, this day. You hold on to a this day. What's your loved one doing this day? We're the ones in the funeral home in the silent, cold, passive place. They're not. This day, what are they doing? 2, Jesus said, you will be with me. Jesus clearly extended an invitation and a promise that the two of them were going to go together. This day, you will be with me. And the third thing Jesus said was, in paradise. The destination can be for certain, and most assuredly, it meant heaven. Now, I'm not worried so much about doctrine or somebody's description of this. I'm just taking the literal word of God, just like it says it. Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. A deeper understanding can come when we open our hearts to look at our loss in another way. Stand up out of that seat you've been sitting in for a while and think with me. It's not what we have lost. It's what we have found. The essence of their life remains with us. They left the memories of their living life with us so that we might hold fast and remember the good that has happened with their lives, even while they're in heaven. What treasures did they give you? What talents did they leave behind for you to pick up and copy? Isaiah 38:19 says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The elder shall make known God's truth to the young. This day, I speak this lesson to you to help you understand that from the ages come this truth. The living, he shall praise thee. Scripture always brings life. Matthew 22:32 says, I love this one. He says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Ooh, I love that. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Did you hear those words? Yes. These are incredible words that Jesus said. God is among the living. Since our loved ones are among the living with God, should we not respond with such knowledge and understanding because they are alive? Why do we respond as if it's over, it's finished, they're done? No, not according to Scripture. They are more alive now than they have ever been while living here on earth. More alive now. So why should we live in a funeral home when they're not there? We can move into the future with a wonderful understanding of their living life and the impact they have made on each one under the sound of my voice. So what did they leave you? What have we been focused on all this time? We've been focused on the dying part, the death part, I'm alone part, I'm by myself part, I'm insecure part, there was pain, and we just start going down the track again, when that is really not reality. We're the ones in the funeral home. Luke 20:36 says, "For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him." Don't that just make your heart jump inside when you think about that? There's so much that society, I have to tell you, society has taught us that included how they have decided that we are to follow the designs they placed on death and how to honor the dead by their ability to make money off the process. And that we have to use their representation of somber sadness to reflect honor and respect for our dead. Not period, true period. They don't get to decide the existence of our loved ones and what they're doing in glory right now. They don't get to decide how those giftings are still alive and that we can copy them and we can take their joys and celebrate their life with that. We can take what they left behind for ourselves and use it to its fullest. Fully live ourselves. They don't get to decide that. So focus on the living. The living shall give praise to God. What and how do they live in the world that has impacted you? Mine, now that takes some thought to think about that. That means switching off that negativity gene and switching on that positivity gene. Positivity brings energy. It brings light. It brings inspiration. It brings encouragement to you. It brings creativity to you. Negativity only drains. No energy, no ability. I can't. No. Your missing loved one is fully alive even now. They were fully alive one time here on earth. And then they opened the door and went into eternity. And now they're more alive than they've ever been, ever on earth. The living, he shall praise thee. So what echoes in our minds right now? What do we think about when we think about their life? Let's search for the happy things of their lives. Stop looking for the sadness. They have been privileged to break through the bonds of this world to enter eternity and joy forever. Privileged. Woo! Joy deserves our celebration of their lives. Mark 12:27, Jesus said, this is powerful. He says, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You do greatly err. Go look it up yourself and see. Go look it up and see what he said. It's Mark 12:27, and see what that verse actually says. Oh my goodness, did the Lord ever speak to me when he told me it's time to move out of the funeral home, Gayla? Wow. The top of my head went, boom. And I started thinking about all the powerful things he laid down for me to pick up and use. All the joyful ways he responded to things in this world that I could be responding to just like he did. I can copy the way he was. Why can't I not? Who told me I couldn't? Where did I get this idea? Modern society and not the Word of God. So think with me. Think with me. Since they are fully alive today, what five questions would they like to ask us if they could see us right now? I'm going to give you those questions. I'm giving you some stuff to think about this week. Question number one. What would he or she say to you about your grief? Write it down. You're going to think about that this week. What would my son say to me about my grief? What would my daughter say to me about my grief? What would my husband think about the way I'm grieving? Since they're fully alive and they know everything now, what would they think about it? Number two. Now, mind you, these words might jump off the page like fire when you write them down, but it's very true. It needs to be explored. Number two, what would they say about living in the funeral home mentality? I know I'm getting really excited while I'm teaching this, but I'm telling you inside, I'm just like jumping because I'm starting to think about all the powerful things my husband used to do. And why don't I pick those things up and start doing them too? The way he responded to life, the way he handled life, the way he walked in the room and sucked the air out of the room. Why don't I behave like that? What would he say about me having a funeral home mentality? Number three, what would they say to you about how they're doing right now in paradise this day? Am I going too fast for you to be able to write stuff down? What would he or she tell you about how they're doing this day in paradise? Oh, and number four is a big one too. Here's your question. What would their opinion be of your thought processes today? If they could read your mind, what would they think about it? Knowing where they are, that they're fully alive, filled with joy and power and the love of God and every answered need. What would they think about our thought processes? And number five. Y'all ready for this one? Number five. What would they tell you to focus on? I can guarantee you this. My husband will not be telling me, well, just try to get through one more day, honey. He would not be saying that. He'd be telling me, go seize the day. Do as much as you can. Live as fully as you can. Laugh, rejoice, dance, sing, be happy. Make a difference in the world. That's what he'd be telling me. Go make me proud. What would yours be saying? I guarantee you know what he'd be saying, or you know what she would be saying. You know what your son would say. You know. Isn't it time to move out of the funeral home and into your future home? Remember what has been good that has happened then. And remember what has happened that is good that is happening even now. Man. What traits, talents, and treasures can you copy that your missing loved one left here? Celebrate their living life with your own rendition of it.
Now, my husband's middle name was Lee. So I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, listen to me, Gregory Lee. Gayla Joyce is not going to come behind in no gift. I got lots of work to do. I know you're having a good time. I'm going to make a difference. With what you left here in this world, I'm going to make a difference with it. I'm going to pick it all up. Walk out of a funeral home. Walk into my future home myself mentally. Do something with my life. There are good things to remember, to savor, to laugh about and enjoy about their life. My friend, let me tell you that they are not found in the funeral home. They are found in your future thoughts of joys and fun things and happy thoughts with them. Write this down. I'm going to turn my morning into morning. Morning as in when the sun comes up. When dawn hits this land, I'm going to turn my morning, my sadness, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, into morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. After all, that's where they are now. This day, you will be with me in paradise, Jesus said. So where's your loved one? Home. Not the funeral home. They're just home.